So I've decided the world divides between those who haven't yet heard of actor Viggo Mortensen and those who follow his every move beyond the popular role of Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, to movies like the just-released A Dangerous Method, in which Michael Fassbender plays Carl Jung, and an almost unrecognizable Viggo plays Sigmund Freud.
I wonder if you're aware of the fact that our conversation has so far lasted 13 hours.
I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
My dear young colleague, please don't apologize. It's our first meeting. We had a great deal to say to one another.
Then there's Viggo Mortensen's politics, left-leaning, his poetry, his sword-fighting skills, his life, a Danish father, a New York mom, raised partly in Argentina and upstate New York. Viggo Mortensen recently came to the Coolidge Corner Theater here in Brookline, Massachusetts, to receive their annual award for his consistently original and challenging work. Hundreds of fans also came for the presentation and a sit-down talk with Viggo. Yours truly was MC.
He had me at Aragorn. But actually, no, he had me at Walk on the Moon. Walk on the Moon.
Look at that. That shade of green? They're practically sparkling.
In the 1999 film A Walk on the Moon, Viggo Mortensen played a hippie blouse salesman seducing moms in the Catskills in the 60s.
I do not know what strength is in my blood, but I swear to you I will not let the White City fall.
But it was Aragorn that sealed the deal for fans, who sang along at the Coolidge as Viggo led them in Aragorn's coronation song in Elvish. We talked for about 2 hours, everything from caring for the horse he eventually bought from the Rings films.
Actually, I was with him one day and one night because he had some problems, digestive problems, and he wasn't my horse that he was my acting partner at that point only. And
but you see it that way.
Strictly platonic at that point.
We talked about going from the fallow years to the cover of the New York Times style section.
That New York Times magazine article also wrote how, you know, those years made you so gracious. You know, your nickname on Lord of the Rings was No Ego Viggo. Have I got that right? And how disdainful, in a way, I mean, that's my word. You were of big-time actors who misbehave, who don't show up, who maybe don't do their reversal shots. I don't know if you meant that, too. Or do little tricks to throw you off. So just between, you know, you and me. Like, so who are they?
No. Nah.
No. Can you tell us like an acting thing, like something?
It could be anything. It could be telling you jokes, stories, like really kind of engaging you just before. Or usually it would do it to a younger actor who, you know, maybe is a bit smitten with this veteran performer, making them laugh and, you know, getting them
off the beam,
off what they're supposed to be paying attention to.
I can't walk, I can't hum, you know? Go ahead and kill me, you sucker!
His body of work includes the wheelchair-bound ex-con in Carlito's Way, collaborations with director David Cronenberg as a bad guy trying to go straight in A History of Violence.
I'm here to make peace. Tell me what I gotta do to make things right.
And a Russian mobster in Eastern Promises.
Okay. Now I'm going to do his teeth and cut off his fingers. You might want to leave the room.
Given these intense roles, what struck me was how soft-spoken Viggo Mortensen is. But then there was a moment, just a moment, when he amped up and the intensity hit like a sound wave.
Can I tell you what that felt like sitting here? Did my hair blow back like this? Because
here are some excerpts, beginning with Viggo Mortensen's role of Nikolai, the Russian mob driver in David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises.
You're legendary for your preparation for a role. I know you researched tattoos. What else did you do to find this character?
Well, I went to Russia, spent some time there, and before going there, I worked with a Russian that I met. I wanted to know how to say everything that the character says in Russian, so I worked on that just to feel more comfortable.
I just had to mention when Putin won the presidential elections.
Won.
Yeah, I won. Thank you. And he came out. There was a walk that he had. He marched out. I thought of you.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because one of the things I did, because once I got back to London, there were actually two Russian channels on the TV, and there was one that was 24 hours, and I just turned it on and kept it on all the time. I figured that was one way to, and a lot of the time, Putin was on there. And there was something about, there was a coldness to his look and his body language. There was something about his rhythms, physically and speech-wise. I did take from him quite a bit in some way, yeah. So it's interesting you should say that.
You're doing all this preparation. How do you prepare for a full frontal nude fight scene with knives? One false move.
It wasn't very comfortable. Ever. You know, we rehearsed quite a bit because David wanted to shoot it in a very...
Choreographed?
It was choreographed very carefully. At first it was going to just be in one area, and then we decided, well, let's use the whole area. I said, well, Vigo, that means you're going to go flying through the air. You won't have pads. I said, well, you know, as long as we don't have to do it too many times. And we rehearsed with clothes on, and we didn't do it with me without clothes on until we shot it, you know, so I didn't know what that would be like, but it was, you know, appropriately uncomfortable and strange and all of that. So, I don't know, it worked. What I like about the way, I think that David Cronenberg is one of the most responsible directors in terms of depiction of violence, because in that movie, or in History of Violence, he doesn't try to make it beautiful. He just shows it for what it is, and he also shows very clearly the physical and the, in some cases, the psychological consequences of it. It's not like every movie I do there's violence, but whether it's a scene that involves violence, or it's a strictly dialogue, or I mean, you keep learning things. The last movie that I did with David Cronenberg, A Dangerous Method, I had a lot more dialogue than I usually get, and there was, you know, and someone said to me, well, for once you're not killing someone. And I said, well, but there's a lot of tension, and there's a certain amount of hostility at some points, you know, but it's verbal. There's a lot of jousting that goes on verbally. That's interesting, too.
There's a rumor running around Vienna that you've taken one of your patients as a mistress.
It's absolutely untrue.
Well, of course it is. So I've been telling everyone.
Did you grow up loving movies? Did you want to be in movies?
I started thinking about it. I was living in, after school, I lived in Denmark for a few years. And while I was in Europe, I started seeing movies in movie theaters like this one. You know, I started seeing things that I had no idea. Dirk Bogart and Death in Venice, Maria Falconetti and The Passion of Joan of Arc, still to this day, I think, is one of the most amazing performances. Truthful, truthful, truthful. Meryl Streep in The Deer Hunter, and then in Sophie's Choice, just as I was starting. How are these people doing this? You know, I made a transition from it just being entertainment. Well, yeah, that's pretty good. From having a distance, I suddenly didn't feel any distance. And my response to that was curiosity. How do they do it? So it just made me want to try it.